Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again here on Circles of Change. I think frequent listeners know I've had fun doing shows with fellow radio show hosts, so I've called it Talking About Talk Radio on Talk Radio. And today we've got a pleasure of having two consultants online from the Coaching Collaborative. So we're going to collaborate about collaboration online. So good morning, Eva Wilson and Peter DeReuter. How are the two of you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm doing fine.
Terrific. And Peter?
Morning to you. It's excellent here in Europe.
Absolutely. So, in fact, I should comment, of course, we're catching Peter in the evening. Let me introduce the two. Eva is the founder of the Coaching Collaborative, which is a practice focused on collaborative leadership to help clients adopt the right behaviors to then connect mission to strategy, strategy to tactics, and then go back again. An accomplished former president of an electronic components manufacturer, Eva raised product quality and service to bring the company from last in the industry to second. Her forte is working across boundaries and expanding really that more traditional total quality management system approach of years ago to include now principles of organizational learning. Eva has a doctorate in electrical engineering from the University of Stuttgart in Germany and an MBA from the University of Chicago, and she's worked within international commercial market firms, nonprofits, and as well from established to startups. Peter DeReuter has been in business as an independent advisor now for 10 years after a successful career with Philips Electronics, where he set up international key account management to the complete restructuring of a European division sales organization. Also leveraging total quality management as well as strategic financial auditing are in his portfolio of expertise to help clients change. Peter is also an electrical engineer by academic training in the Netherlands with advanced studies in economics from the University of Amsterdam, and he's known for helping clients keep the big picture view, put their fingers then on those difficult points, and then dive directly into the details to resolve business challenges. So again, what a pleasure. Now tell me, I know the two of you have the common intersection of electrical and electronics, but how did the two of you meet and get together then? Eva, might you start with us?
Well, we met when we both worked at Philips.
Mm-hmm.
Peter did a quality assessment of the company I was president of. And that's how we met.
Well, Peter, ordinarily that's kind of can be fraught with being an antagonistic relationship. So you really must had quite the approach for this to be a pleasant experience that's led to the collaboration between the two of you then.
Apparently, what I want to say about quality management at Philips in that time, it was very broadly organized. We took people from all over the world, different disciplines, to assess each other's factories.
Mm-hmm.
And it really worked. It was very beneficial to everyone, to all of us.
So it really was a peer-to-peer opportunity where you then at the same time shared organizational learning, I take it then, Eva?
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, yes. Is that right?
That's correct.
But which, you know, many times in companies, having the quality organization come in and assess you, that right away puts people on the defensive. And it sounds like this approach actually bode well then for how the two of you then have set up your coaching practice.
Yeah, we connected probably about 2 years ago when Peter found me on LinkedIn.
There you go.
And then he sent me an email and we connected and then we talked on Skype. And eventually we decided we're going to start working together.
Isn't it wonderful? So tell us, maybe start out right, you know, why do you believe that coaching is so important? Eva, why don't you start with that one?
Well, I learned when I was a business consultant that when you consult to individuals in businesses, very often they don't do what you ask. What they ask you to tell them to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the reason for it is, there are multiple reasons. We don't have time, we don't, whatever. And I learned that the only way an individual will do what needs to be done is he's coached into doing it, which means he has to come with powerful questions. So the individual gets to the point of understanding why he or she needs to do what needs to be done. And that's how I got into coaching.
And again, so Peter, this whole aspect of, it's really the power of the questions that are so important to be an effective coach, isn't it?
Yeah, and not only that, what is really important is that when you are honoring, when you learn something, that when you get back to the working environment, you cannot apply that same what you learned, because the environment is completely different.
That's right.
So you have to be guided to put in practice what you learned. And that is what coaching is all about.
Yeah, and the idea of the guides, you know, those guides, of course, could be peer coaches, but also for the right people, Peter, having somebody totally external to the organization, isn't it? There's some safety in that, isn't there, don't you think?
Certainly. The outside look is beneficial on two sides. One is it's not threatening. You are from outside. You have no authority. You can only help them, advise them. And on the other hand, you bring in new ideas. Mm. You can say, well, I saw this with that company. They do it that way. That way you bring in ideas which are not yours, but let's say from other environments.
So Eva, if I could step back then and ask the two of you actually this question, but you could start. You're having come together to start the Coaching Collaborative. Why do you think you could be an effective coach then?
Well, I'll give you one example. I am a retired business executive. And as a woman, I am qualified to coach other women because I got to the top of the organization, as they say, climbing the ladder and breaking the glass ceiling. And on the way, getting blessed, steps that I took to climb to the top give me experience that I can help other women who want to take the same path.
That's really true. And Peter, yourself, it sounds like from the makeup of your career, you're having cut across so many organizations that you bring a wealth of those kind of broader perspectives, too.
Yeah. It started already with my studies. I did electronics first, and then I started working with Philips, and I realized that technology was not everything. So then I added the economics, and that those are two ways of thinking, ways of dealing with questions which are completely different, whether you approach it from the business perspective or from a technological perspective. And that broad view is absolutely necessary, particularly in a technology-driven company.
And so I can see between the two of you, of course, both of you having your engineering background, there's a natural match there, but seasoned with business, and then as you both have said, the fact you've worked with so many other clients, that kind of adds a lot in your portfolio of personal experience. In general, though, Eva, what is needed to be a good coach, do you think? You've mentioned the power of questions, of course, but other attributes.
Well, in order to be a good coach, one has to be trained. But then selecting the training is not trivial.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many people who train others to be coaches. Because that has become a cottage industry. Anybody can call himself coach. And the other thing, that industry is not regulated.
Precisely.
So you can call yourself a coach, and the only way you know you're a good coach is if your clients are satisfied with your coaching. That's the only way. But you have to learn methodologies. You have to learn things that would help you become a better coach. It's like anything else. Everything is about learning. And you have to learn as long as you live.
Well, one of the interesting things, of course, in your background, Eva, of having come out of a commercial company, is then spending time in an organization that really launched organizational learning. And so you had personally almost shifted yourself into a broader chair, I'll call it. So not just the doing, but the enabling. So it's one thing, again, to know the methodologies, but to do it with a learning mindset is so critical, don't you think?
Absolutely. And, you know, I came from a technology company. We made picture tubes for television sets for Philips in the United States. I also ran a startup Gyrocon, where we made the plastic displays, and it was a spin-off from Xerox. And it was also a technology company. But in both of those companies, I brought methodologies to the people who worked there that would help them do a better job, which was not only about the technology. It was about how you do things, who you do it with, mm-hmm. and how you treat people you work with. So that's where I started learning from Peter Singh in organizational learning. But I have expanded that based on my own experience and based on that which I have learned looking around.
Yeah, that's well put. Peter, again, I'm just intrigued by your having this engineering and economics intersection. And also, I mentioned in the introduction, your work with strategic auditing. And so I have this vision of you being the guy that really can go in and get into the details with clients or to help them get into their own details. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, that's precisely it. The trouble with the strategic auditing, I say, in general, with a multi-divisional company, is that the divisions bring up their plans for the future and they all look fantastic. The market is growing, they have a unique proposition, blah, blah, blah. And by the way, can we get $10 million or whatever? Because we need some investment to do. And that is the question, how do you assess those plans? What has been behind those plans? Is that just dreaming or is it really solid thinking and arithmetic? That mm-hmm. is a question.
That's right.
You see, Zara, that's where the questioning is so important. And not questioning by making the other person look like an idiot, but questioning to get to the bottom of what they're really trying to do. I have never seen a strategic plan that didn't say, we are fantastic, we know what we're doing, we want to apply this, that, and the other, and give us $10 million or whatever it was. It's sort of like a resume. Have you ever seen a resume where a person says, you know, I'm really a bum. Right. I haven't done anything properly, but I think I can do it for you.
That's right. So I think this idea, too, of authenticity in your approaches. So in general, the two of you have come together. It's been together for 2 years now. What do you really want to achieve with this coaching practice, and particularly your use of that word collaborative, Eva?
Mm-hmm. Well, the name Coaching Collaborative was selected when I first started this business with another partner here in Ann Arbor. And the reason we selected that name is because the only way you can really coach effectively is in a collaborative process between the coach and the coachee.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just come and coach. You obviously can't coach anybody who doesn't want to be coached. But even the people who want to be coached, you have to be in a collaborative process with them. So it's like anything else. The word collaborative is becoming much more popular today than it was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's talking about it. But creating a collaborative environment is not trivial.
And I can imagine.
People have to give up their own opinions. People
right.
have to give up their own views, and they have to listen to the other people's views. Well, you know, especially those of us who were in high positions, we did not get to those positions by listening.
Necessarily.
We we got to these positions by telling everybody. So inquiry is not very common in business.
So, Peter, I can imagine some of the coaching engagements you've had, not unlike what I've done. It's you get the phone call and they say, we have someone you need to help us fix. How do you respond to that kind of an entree as a person who truly wants to be a collaborative coach?
Yeah. It starts with the, let's say, what kind of company are you in? And what is the way of working? And what different disciplines do you have, particularly a company, a technical company with engineering department, a factory, and a sales department? Those are three completely different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And up to now, I would say, it was all right if everyone did their job, and then it worked out pretty much good, and then the bottom line was okay. But now when the competition is much harder, you really need in the company to collaborate. You have to bring those different views together to a common plan and execute that. And then you need really to collaborate with everyone.
So the time that you've had a client where they've said, we need you to fix someone, what you're saying is to be able to make that happen, it's really about enabling the person to step up themselves once you set a different context for them to work in. Did I have that right? Yeah.
Eva, you wanted
to add to that?
Absolutely, absolutely. You cannot coach anybody into a change process if that person hasn't first agreed to change. And in order to change, it takes minimum of 6 months, even when you're committed to change, because things don't happen overnight. But the other thing that's also important, and Peter touched upon that, the collaboration among different functions in an organization is critical to create better results, to create better products, to sell more. And if you go on our blog, you will see something about the definition of collaboration, some examples of collaboration, and it will give you an insight at what and why we believe that collaboration is essential.
That's right.
In particular, collaborative leadership.
That's right. We're speaking, by the way, for those who may have just tuned in, with Eva Wilson. She's president of the Coaching Collaborative, and her colleague based in the Netherlands, Peter de Ruyter. And indeed, the reference to that site is thecoachingcollaborative.com. And also, in addition to the blog, that also Eva has a book called The Power of Collaborative Leadership. The whole opportunity the two of you have had to parlay off one another. Tell me a little bit about how your own styles or your learning to collaborate, to be collaborative, what kind of journey have the two of you been under? Peter, maybe you could start that one.
If I may elaborate on that, I realized for the first time that it was not only about one function being important and predominant, and that should be the leader role, is when I had a big argument with my boss because he wanted to have the end year figures look good, and that's why we had to sell those things and throw it over the wall to another organization. That was not selling. That was let's say punishing the other side, so the customer, for our not functioning properly. So that's when I realized, hey guys, we cannot win this war if we do these kind of things. It is like you tell someone we have to move into that direction, and you can either say I want to reach that point, or you can say, well, we're going to move in that direction, and you don't do this and you don't do that. You define the borderlines of behavior, and that last thing is much more effective. So you should not fool your customer with old-fashioned products and these kind of things. So just indicating the borderlines of behavior and then move forward, that brings you much further than just a dot somewhere, a point where you have to be in a few years of time.
That's well put, and quite honestly, that's probably the smart thing to do anyways, because the game changes a lot when we're in motion. So you have to be able to do proactive recovery, don't you, Eva?
Yeah. You know, Zara, one important thing for us to share with you, and this is my perspective now, and Peter can give his perspective. He and I are quite different. Mm-hmm. Not only that he's Dutch, and I'm a Croatian-born American, which means none of us use English as a mother tongue.
Mm-hmm.
But we both speak it pretty good. But what is important to know is that we are also not only coming from different cultures, but we are coming from different ways of looking at things. And there is no way we can work together without collaborating. I can't tell Peter what to do, neither can he tell me what to do. And this collaborative process takes more time.
Good point.
I can share my view. I can give him background as to why I think what I think. And it's up to him to either accept it or reject it. And I think it works both ways. And I have learned tremendously from Peter, because I am a very, what would be the word, emotional person. Mm-hmm. I respond in the minute, and that's not good. That cost me a lot of pain in my life, all the way back to when I lived in Yugoslavia, to the end of my career. You can't tell people what's on your mind. You have to keep it to yourself and approach it in a different way.
Different way, that's right.
And I have learned all this. So working with Peter has given me the opportunity to best apply that which I learned. But I'm not sure I am yet as good as I would like to be.
Mm-hmm. What a nice compliment from peer to peer. And Peter, your thoughts on that subject of the playing stronger because of your differences.
All too often you see a strong leader grouping around him people with the same views.
Absolutely.
So they're just saying yes to the boss and mm-hmm. no one saying, hey, what you're doing is wrong. You should think about this or think about that. Or why not this, why not that? So a strong leader is okay, but he almost always asks for the wrong kind of people around him. So you have to be open to get other ideas in.
That's right. And I
you
think
know, Tara, if you would, I will send you the book, The Power of Collaborative Leadership, so you can see what happened in Philip's Display Components when I was trying to implement organizational learning, because I believed that's a great methodology to put us into the future.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
But not everybody else that worked for me did, mm-hmm. and they did not tell me the truth.
Ah.
And that was extremely painful, because they were telling it to my boss. So from my boss's perspective, I was doing something that people didn't agree. I always asked them. It was not like I just, you know, threw it at them and they have to do it. So you'll get this book, because this book is, to my knowledge, the only book ever written about the mistakes that leaders make. Most leaders talk about how wonderful they are, how successful they are, and I could have written a book like that too. But I didn't think that was useful.
Well, and it, in terms of always, if it's a matter of how we frame mistakes and failure. If we view that as the roadmap for learning and change, wouldn't you agree, Peter, that's when you really make fast progress?
Yeah. I happen to be an actor with an assessment bureau. They assess people whether they are fit for some function, and then I'm called in and I may act chairman of the board or whatever function they require.
Sure.
And that is incredibly interesting. You learn a lot from it, and it's very funny as well.
That's right.
That is really a great thing to do.
Put people in role. Eva Wilson and Peter DeReuter, thanks so much for joining us. Again, their organization is the Coaching Collaborative. You can go to www.thecoachingcollaborative.com. They're based between Ann Arbor, Michigan, as well as the Netherlands, so the global footprint. Also, I bring to your attention the book, The Power of Collaborative Leadership, as another venue. And I like what you're saying here, Eva, as well, this power of learning from our mistakes, which is, of course, a natural human condition. Thanks so much for contributing here on Circles of Change, and have a great Memorial Day weekend, you two.
Thank you, Zara. Same to you.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.